Well, good morning, and just want to say I'm so excited about today. This is actually the final installment of a series that we've been in entitled Running with the Giants, and if you've been along for the ride, I hope you've enjoyed this. It's just been an awesome time of just engaging one another, getting to know one another, and I'm just going to reiterate this series again, and that is that we have based this series off of the first verse of chapter 12 of Hebrews. It talks about that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, of those giants of the faith that actually are listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that have actually run this race, run it well, and have now gone on to receive their reward in heaven. And that cloud of witnesses, as if they were looking upon our race that we're now currently running, if they were to speak to us and give us some encouragement as we're running our race, what would they say to us? What words would they give us that would help us run our race with perseverance? And so each week we've been taking a character out of the Bible. We've been taking one of those giants and letting them run a lap with us and speaking into our lives. We've learned some great things. And along the way also, what we've decided to do in this series is to take an opportunity to connect to one another and pull some giants from the race that is now being run, that are currently running that race. And that is some family members here of Cross Point. And it's been a great time of just getting to know one another. And today I have with us, I'm calling this the three wise men. Isn't this great? And so, so thankful for these guys. We got Bob Stone, and we have Randy Miller, and we have Femi Bolligan that are with us today. And so thankful for these guys. And I just saved the best. I didn't say the best. The last, I'll get in trouble there. But I saved these guys the very last. But I'm just really appreciate these guys. And let me just say right up front that you're looking at three men that are very, very faithful to the Lord and also faithful here at Cross Point. And I just want to just take a minute just to introduce them to you and just hear a little bit about their story and where they're from. And I'll just start right here with you, Femi. Femi is from Nigeria. And tell us about a little bit about that, about how you came to America and how you've come here to Cross Point.
Well, I came to U.S. in 1977 to study, and I've been here ever since. Originally, I intended to stay 5 years and then to go back home, but I met my wife, and I said, well, this is the place to stay, and I've been here ever since.
And so you're from Nigeria. You've been here for quite a while, and you came here to get your education.
Yes,
and I had to get some clarity on this morning, and you actually have four college degrees,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. Just help us get to
that. Well, I have four degrees. I have a bachelor's degree in medical record science, which is now called health information management. I have a master's in mathematics and master's in computer science. And then I have a PhD in industrial and systems engineering.
Yes. So this is Dr. Bolligan, in case y'all didn't know that. So, and you understand systems a lot. We were talking a little bit about, I got the opportunity to come to a little bit of a reception there for your doctorate, and
yes.
And how that you understand systems on a whole new level,
yes.
than I do, and so and we do we're trying to incorporate a lot of systems, right? So you bring a lot of value to us, but not only for that, but for your faithfulness through the years, and we're so blessed with Marie and their children. We've known the family; they've been such a blessing to us. We'll talk more about that in just a moment, but Randy. Randy, we've known each other for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your story.
I grew up in Charlotte.
Okay.
Was a part of a pretty nominal, it was a church, Methodist church, good people, mm-hmm. but, you know, there was never the understanding of Christ and who he was, but, so when I was 20, someone that I worked with invited me to church.
Hmm.
And that's when I put my faith and trust in Christ when I was 20. Now, that was, it'll be 39 years ago.
We're not doing math.
That's hard to believe.
Okay, yeah, right.
And I graduated from high school, so I feel kind of out of place with this guy here. But that's quite an accomplishment for Femi. But Christ was entering my life when I was 20. I started going to a church, met my wife, Paulette.
Paulette's here, yes.
We were married at 23, so it'll be 36 years here. September.
Did he do that right? Did he get that right? Okay, that's important.
But you know,
okay.
Absolutely. I know you're limited on time, but you know, God is faithful.
Yes.
He's been
yes.
faithful to me and us and our family, even though when I haven't been, he's faithful. And I would just encourage everybody here that just to trust the Lord, remain faithful to him. And
yes, yes.
Became a part of this church about eight years ago. It's hard to do the math.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this church has been very instrumental in my life and our family and our extended family. And Pastor has been a phenomenal help in ministry and counseling in a lot of areas and different things in our lives. And God has pulled us through. He's done so many things in our lives that time is limited, restrained. But God bless you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, yes.
That's
well,
it.
Don't you appreciate that testimony? And God's been faithful, but you've been very faithful as well. And Bob, I talking about faithfulness, all you guys are up here because you're faithful to the Lord. But I know God's been faithful. You tell us a little about your story. I've had some fascinating evenings with you here as we've talked about some of your days that date back to the Korean War and your journey.
Not the war. I'm not quite that old.
Okay,
I'm the
okay,
old man
okay,
next door,
okay.
But I'm not that old.
Okay, I'm in trouble. All right, so to clear it up here, you were in Korea.
Yes, right? I was in Korea for 14 months.
Okay.
I went into the military in 64 and finished my three-year active duty in 67.
Yes.
And then I had 3 years of inactive reserves.
Yes.
I was born and raised right here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes. This guy, if you want to have some fascinating time, just kick back and listen to Bob tell some of these stories about Korea. He served in the you were a medic, right?
I went to Korea. I was a medic, and then when I got to Korea, I found out I was a combat infantryman.
Okay, you're right. But if you listen to him, you ever watch the show MASH? Does anybody know? Everybody remember the show MASH? It sounds like you're listening to a MASH episode when you listen to this guy. It's just awesome. But I just want to say, and also let me just make sure I include this, and that is that Bob came here and his wife Anne was with us for a good while, and very very much loved this church and the relationship she found here. And she had battled a great sickness, and she's now went on to be with the Lord. But Bob did a phenomenal job as her caregiver and just providing for her. And may I say along with that, you know, Femi, I know that one morning we woke up and Marie had a stroke. One day she was fine, and the next day she wasn't. And I know that's been a challenge as well. I'm sure as we've watched Marie get better and better. In fact, I've got to say this: I went to visit her in the hospital, and she was in the hospital, and she could hardly talk. Well, when we first saw her, she couldn't talk at all. But after a period of time, she could talk just enough to tell me, "I want to join your church." She wasn't coming here; Femi was, and then she said, "I want to join the church." And I thought, you're laying here in the hospital bed, and your concern is, I got to get back because I want to join church. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going to join your church. And it just meant so much, and she's been such a blessing to us as well. And I just want to say, you guys, again, I think are the epitome of faithfulness. I know that Randy and Bob, there's a lot of behind the scenes that you guys don't see. Many days I come by here. Randy's out here with a watering hose, you know, standing there watering the grass, or he's weed eating or mowing, and Bob's over here working in the kids' church. He was in this week cleaning up some things around here, and these guys are just here serving behind the scenes so faithfully. And Femi, you've been here through thick and thin, just so faithful, and we've had some tremendous times together in the Lord, sharing in small groups and in ministry, even before we even got this building. Here's what I want to ask you guys, and just maybe y'all can just speak to this briefly. Each of you have had your course of times of challenge. I know, you know, even coming to this country, the challenge of getting your education while taking care of your family, while taking care of your wife, Femi, and Randy, you know, your journey as you've been journeying with the Lord and faithful through the things that go on through the church and all in family, Bob, through your journey, all that you've been through with your challenges with caregiving and serving in war and all those things. I guess what I'm asking today, though, is how do you do it? How do you do it? You know, I mean, what advice would you give regarding, if you were to give somebody some encouragement of how you know, you've been so faithful and you're still on the path, strong in the Lord, what would you think?
Well, I think the first thing you have to understand is that you cannot do this thing by yourself. You need the Lord for everything that you do. And Randy said that the Lord is faithful. Yes, the Lord is faithful. So if you believe that the Lord is faithful and you trust him with all your heart and all your might, then he's going to see you through. Because when I look at what I've gone through, my wife had stroke in 2006. We just went to drop our second born to college, and the next morning she had massive stroke. In fact, the doctor said she wasn't going to leave, but thank God she did.
Yes, amen, amen.
So when you look back and you see that it is the Lord that did it, not you, not anybody else. And, of course, the prayers of the faithful. So continue to pray, trust in the Lord, and he will see you through.
Yes, yes.
You've always heard that hindsight is 20/20. When I look back on my life, 39 years since I came to faith in Christ, you just see how God has worked in your life, and you never could imagine, you know, how he would bring you through things. And maybe it's good that we don't know what's ahead, but we know that, you know, God is faithful, isn't he?
Yes.
He's faithful, and he always is. So we keep our focus on him. Sure, we fall, but we get back up. And our focus, our goal is heaven. And it's if we keep our focus on him, that's what keeps us going.
That's it. Bob, you got anything to add to that?
Me and Ann got married in 1983. We were together 35 years. She had major surgery in her spine in 88, and she got a staph infection from that, and it was a battle ever since. But the last 10 years of her life, she was in just about hooked on pain pills. At one time, she was taking 15 milligrams of OxyContin 4 times a day, and that wasn't helping. We came to this church, I believe it was in 2006 or 2007, and at one time, about 5 years ago, Ann was wheelchair bound, and there was a year and a half that I didn't come to church for taking care of her. It's not meant for one family member to take care of a loved one. It's too much, but I held on, and this church helped me hold on. But on a Wednesday night, I rolled Ann in here in the wheelchair. We went into the Wednesday night Bible study, and everyone in there laid hands on Ann and prayed, and she come out of that wheelchair and never got back in it. The next Sunday, we came to church. Everybody seen her walking across the parking lot. But one thing that I'm really proud of, in the 35 years I was with Ann, I never laid a finger on her. I don't believe in beating on women. And I don't believe in women beating on men.
Make sure you clue that
but
part.
But this church, this church really, really helped me through some hard times. Helped me with my depression of what I went through with Ann. And at one time, it actually put me in the mental hospital. But with the help of the Lord and this church, I come out of there.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for God's faithfulness, Bob? God is faithful. I want to say also, just to add what you guys have said, and that is, it's a two-way street, you know. I think God's faithful in spite of us, but we're called to be faithful to Him as well. And you guys have really exemplified that here and are such a blessing to our church. And I just love you guys, and I thank God for you. And this is the kind of stuff you build churches on, you know, just solid, faithful to the Lord, not pulling back, just steady as they go, you know. And I just really, really appreciate you guys. And one thing I think I do hear you guys saying, that is just trust in the Lord. It's Him, and keep your eyes on Him, and He'll see you through. And we just thank God for y'all. Come on, everybody. Don't you appreciate y'all? Please, guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Yes. I just want to say thank you to each person who has been up here through this series. And let me just say, I would love to have every one of you up here. I recognize that, thanks guys, I recognize that, you know, there's not enough time, obviously, to have everybody up here. But I just wanted to kind of give a slice of our church and just sort of let us just hear from some of the, let me tell you another way that you really get to know one another, and that is get into a small group. I mean, you know, Sunday morning is the pat on the back. Good to see you. How's your week? Great. Good to see you. See you next week. But what I would encourage you to do is get into a small group where you get to hear people's stories, where you get to share your story, where you get to know each other. You can support each other, like Bob saying, them coming to this church. I remember him one time saying that he enjoyed Wednesday night better than he did Sunday morning because, you know, and I'm okay with that. Because it's about relationships and praying for one another, encouraging one another. And so I just encourage you to do that. I want us to get into this to the series as we take this final step together, this final installment of this series. And before I get into the meat of this, let me just point this out. And that is that next week is Easter. Everybody say it with enthusiasm. Oh, that sounded so good. I believe you can do better than that. Come on.
Easter!
All right, all right, all right. I like that. Now, with that same enthusiasm, I want you to help me with a couple of things, all right? Easter is the best date on the calendar for the whole year for the church. And those people that you would invite that say, I'll come one day, sure. Studies show that Easter is the day that you can get them, okay? So I want to encourage you to help me with a couple of things. Number one, the first thing I want you to do is I'm going to ask you to pray. I really need you to pray. And this is not just one of those religious things that we do. I want you to help me pray. This is so important because we know this. If people come, it's one thing to come, enjoy a little religious service, and leave. But it's another thing to come and encounter God and lives be changed forever. And we can have lights and we can have all the things that we try to do to try to make this thing work. But in all of our efforts, it's not enough. It's not enough. Because the Bible tells us that it takes the Holy Spirit to draw people to Christ. It takes the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, the spirit of understanding and revelation, to realize who He is and our need of Him, and to draw us to Him. So I'm asking you, listen, help me pray that when people come, and as they come, and that they will come, that their lives will be changed, that their eyes will be opened, that they'll have that spirit of revelation. Because the Bible says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Okay? So how many's going to help me pray? All right. Say, yeah. Okay, we're going to pray. All right, second thing I want to ask you to do, and that is to invite. Everybody say invite.
Invite.
And listen, we've got some things to help you do that with, but the best way is one-on-one inviting people, inviting friends. And we've got those cards, and they're there in your worship guide. We've got you've got a sheet of four. But listen to me. Everybody say 5,000. We got 5,000 cards, all right? And I and my boys can't do it alone. I need your help. So what I'm asking you to do is help me distribute those. Now, You could go to parking lots if you can get away with it, and you could put them on windshields, you know, and the wiper blades, and or you know you can take them to communities and put them on the mailbox. I didn't say in the mailbox; that's a federal offense. You could do them on the mailbox, and you know, in the little flag thing, take a piece of tape. My boys actually, Darren was driving, Tanner was on the passenger side. They were riding along, boom, 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 boom. You know, I'm just hitting, and I'm telling you, you can cover. I'm a mailman. I know how this works. It doesn't take long to cover a neighborhood, all right? So please help us invite your friends. But here's the best way you can use the car. I encourage you to help us distribute those. We're going to have a meal a little bit later. We're going to be passing those things out. And we're not going to get out of here without a bunch of them, all right? I'm just saying. I don't want you to take them home and set them on the kitchen cabinet. I want you to really help me, okay, distribute those. But the best way you can use them is to invite somebody you know, coworker, friend, neighbor, relative, and you don't just say, here's a card, come. No, you invite them and say, hey, here's a card to remind you, and I want to meet you there, and this is where I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you out front. I'm going to meet you in the foyer. I'm going to meet you and sit with them and come bring them. You hear what I'm saying? And do that one-on-one, and let's fill up the house. How many believes we can fill up the house next Sunday? All right? So let's do it. All right, and the third thing I want to ask you to do, and that's serve. Listen, even if you don't know your place on the Dream Team or you're not actively serving right now, I want to deputize you officially right now as a Dream Teamer, okay? So next week, company's coming. I need you here ready. We need to set the table, guys, figuratively speaking. Guys, we got to get everything in order and be ready when company comes. You don't want your company to beat you to the house. I need you here. I need you here early. We actually have a Dream Team huddle at 9:45. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Come and pray with us. If you can't get there for that, at least get here early, be serving. And just see Karen. She's over our Dream Team. Karen will assign you to an area of ministry and let you serve, okay? Help somebody. And if you walk in and you find somebody that's looking around going, I don't know where I'm going, that's a guest. That's a guest. That's what they look like. They're standing there. That's a guest. You go up to them and you say, hi, and you become the official greeter, okay? And you say, and they say, well, can I help? Well, I was wondering where the nursery was. Well, I'll show you. I'll escort you there, and you take them to the nursery, okay? So really, help me. Come on, and let's be engaging. Let's just come in, find our seat, sit down, and, you know, hey, do it, Pastor. Come on, I need your help. So help me with that. Pray, invite, and serve. And I'm excited for everybody say Easter? All right, that's it. We're ready for Easter. All right, Easter. All right, okay. So be sure and help me with that, and we'll be talking about more of that during our time of fellowship today. Let's get right into this message. And we've been taking this scripture as our basis, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so each week we've been looking at different characters, and they've been teaching us things. We've been getting life lessons from Noah. We've learned that one person can make a difference. We learned from Abraham and from Moses and from Rebecca and from Esther and all these different characters. But today is the giant of all giants. Today is Jesus, all right? And so we're going to learn from Jesus. In fact, I want to look at the next verse. We've saved this verse for this week. This is the next verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Puts it this way, and I just got a translation that just makes it just very, very relative, I believe, and makes it really applicable to us. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Look at this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus, that's what these three guys were talking about that were up here today. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and look at how he ran this race. Study, look at this, keep your eyes on Jesus who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside of God. One translation says he's at the right hand of God. Another translation says we're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we are to look to him in everything. And so it goes on. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, listen to this. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. And so when you're flagging in your faith, when you feel like you're on the last lap, in fact, this message is dedicated to those that just sometimes just you're tired, you're weary, you don't know how you can go another step, you don't know how you can put one foot in front of the other. Listen to this. What this tells us to do, and that is to look to Jesus and go through the story again. This is Palm Sunday. This is a day that we celebrate where Jesus came into Jerusalem. It's called the triumphal entry. He came into Jerusalem and people were acknowledging who he was, but Jesus didn't just come for that day alone. He came with a destination, and that was the cross, to take our sins upon himself, to be our sacrifice for us, to pay that penalty for us so we wouldn't have to. And so Jesus came to us, and he went through some things for us. And the Bible tells us that when you don't know how you can make it, the advice it gives you is that you are to look to him and look to what he went through. Each thing he went through, item by item, I want us to look at this long litany of hostility that he plowed through. And I believe it's going to give us encouragement. And so here's your first point, and that is that for when you feel like giving up, number one, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And so when we look to him, it actually transforms our life. And because what it does when we look and see what he went through, it shows us how he did it. And when we look at how he did it, and by the way, we're coming up this Friday is what we call Good Friday. Now, we call it good, but folks, it wasn't good for him. It wasn't good for him. It was a very bad day. In fact, it was his worst day. But on his worst day, Jesus did some things to give us an example of how we're to get through our worst day. In fact, there is the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross that he went through. And you can't find them all in one gospel account. You actually have to look at all, because all tell a different, from a different perspective, a different approach. But when you look at all those gospels, it's called a harmony. You take the harmony of the gospel. There are seven things that Jesus said while he was being crucified. And today, we're going to look at that together, and it's going to tell us something as we study this. We're going to study that he went through the betrayal, the scourging, the beating, the crown of thorns, the nails, and the spears. But all of these things, they teach us life lessons. And the hope is this, that when we're reminded of these and these statements he made, as we look at these and we apply these seven things to our life. In fact, I believe you could just take a couple of them and it would set wind in your sails. It would change your life. It'll breathe new life back into you. But I want us to look at these together. First of all, number one, that is this point. Forgive everyone. Forgive everyone who's trying to ruin your life. That's there in your message notes if you want to fill that in. Forgive everyone who's trying to ruin your life, or at least seems like is trying to ruin your life. I mean, isn't it interesting? Don't you know that it seems like there are some people that actually come to the Discovery 301, and their discovery is that their purpose in life, that they're actually their whole purpose in life is just to make your life miserable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, have you ever had people like that? I know what your assignment is. Your assignment in life is just to make my life miserable. Has anybody got anybody that you've had like that? That just, you know. And in fact, if we are miserable, a lot of times it's because of relationships. In fact, the wounds that we have oftentimes are because of relational wounds. If I had you stand up today, those of you that have some kind of wounds and difficulties in your life, probably more than 90% of you would be because of some relationship. And so, look at Jesus. Jesus was mocked. He was spat upon. He suffered all this brutality. And the first statement he made, listen to this, while being nailed to the cross, while that cross was being thrust in the ground, the way they crucified people back then, they could not breathe as they were hanging there. They would dislodge their arms so that they would just hang there with their weight. And the only way that they could catch a breath, from what I understand, people that have studied this, is that they would push up on the nails that they were nailed with to try to get a grasp of air and fall back down. And Jesus is in that state. And here's what Jesus said. The first thing he says is in Luke chapter 23. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That's amazing. That's amazing. Jesus is saying, "Forgive them." That's our lesson to us, and that is that we must forgive everyone who we're having difficulty with. And here's the thing. If you can't do it for yourself, it's not just for them, you're doing it for yourself, is what I'm trying to say. You're doing it for yourself. And there's a lesson in this, and that is that you probably won't keep running if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Resentment is a dream killer, and it keeps you from running. And Jesus thought that this point was so important. In fact, he even included it in our daily prayer. He said, this is what you need to pray every day. Lord, forgive them. His prayer was, Father, forgive our trespasses as we forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their trespasses. And in fact, you know, it's so important that we forgive. David Youngie Cho, anybody know who that is? He's the pastor, actually happens to be the pastor of the largest church in Seoul, Korea. And he's an amazing pastor, hundreds of thousands of people in his church. And I've heard that he's shared this before. He says that he says every day I forgive so many people. And he said, the reason I forgive so many people every day is because I hate so many people. That's a pastor. Matthew chapter 6 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So forgiveness is extremely important. Let me tell you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of it. It's not saying that what they did was okay. It's not okay. It was wrong. It's not instant restoration of the relationship or of that trust. What forgiveness is saying, let it not be on your record. Right? Even the Bible says that God says, let me avenge, and you keep no record of wrong. Right? And I want to tell you, for some of us, if we could just take that one lesson, for not even talk about the other six yet, it would change our life. Right? Number two, help others who are also experiencing your same struggle. Help others. On Jesus' worst day, this is what he did. And I just got to tell you, find somebody when you're having your worst day and help somebody else that's having their worst day, and you'll be shocked at how it will change your life. Luke chapter 23, look at this. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. And he says, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal, the other guy that had a little bit different perspective, rebuked him. And he said, don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, he says, we are punished justly for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Now look at this. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Now you would think that Jesus could have answered him and said, hey, I got my own issues right now. Right? He's hanging there on the cross. Excuse me, I got my own issues I'm dealing with. And sometimes we're that way. Look, I got my own issues I'm dealing with. Jesus, on his worst of days, took time to minister. And he says, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. It's a real life lesson. It's a real life lesson. In fact, that's why I want you to invite people next Sunday for Easter. Now, make no mistake about it, we want to do that for them, okay, because people need Christ. But it's also for you. It's also for you. Because look, if you've never you've never experienced dynamic Christianity until you've been part of someone making a decision to serve God. Can I say that again? You've never experienced dynamic Christianity until you've been a part of someone making a decision to serve God. It will light your fire like nothing else you've ever seen when you're a part of that. Are you hearing me? That's really where it's at, is to win others to Christ. And I love this verse. It's found in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 10. If you spend, I'm just going to pause right here for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 58 is why this church exists. Because in Isaiah 58, it talks about what a true fast is. And we learned this lesson some years ago when we couldn't get into this building. We were having some major problems with a contractor, okay? And God spoke to my heart about getting out of this church and go minister to a community and talk to us about what real religion is, what really fasting is, and that's pouring into other people, clothing the naked, right? Feeding the hungry, visiting those in prison, right? And so we went out and did that, and when that happened, everything broke through, and we got in this building. Can I tell you that Isaiah 58 will also fill this building? Are you hearing me? Isaiah 58, look at what it says here. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. Your bad day is going to become your best day. Are you hearing me? Number three. Be sure you have taken care of those closest to you. On your bad day, it's often the people that's closest to you that take the brunt of your bad day. Is that true? I mean, we're nice to everybody else. At work, everywhere, we come home and we dump on the family. And we think, well, they understand. They should understand. You know, right? I mean, this is the way it goes. We're in the kitchen, and here's the conversation in the kitchen. And then the phone rings. Ring, ring. Hello. How are you doing? Oh, great. Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, and you have a blessed day. I mean, you know, and I think we got that reversed. You know what I mean? We need to be caring for those that are closest to us, right? Look at this. Theologians say that there was only one of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus to the cross, and that was John. And here's what Jesus said. He looked down, and he sees his mother, and he says, "What about Mom?" Now, a lot of theologians also believe that Joseph may have already passed away at this point, because you don't hear any reference to him. And in fact, this statement wouldn't even been appropriate if Joseph was still around, but apparently there was just Mom. And he looks down from the cross and he sees his mom. He says, "What about Mom?" And he looks over at John, one disciple that hung with him, and said, "Mom, look at this. Look at the scripture. Dear woman, here's your son." And to John he said, "Here's your mother." Right? So he was caring. He said, "This is your son. Take care of her. Take care of each other." And so we need to stop the dumping on those closest to us. He wasn't dumping on those closest to him. He took time to love and to care for on his worst day. Men, we need to learn this. And it may be women, you might need to learn it too. I'm just saying, okay? Number four, realize that until you get to heaven, there are some things you will never understand. You'll never understand. Right? I mean, we're running this race, and oftentimes we're going through some stuff as we're running it, and as we do, it's very easy to say, "Why? Why, God? Why? Don't understand." And I've been going through this way too long, and are you even there, God? You ever have moments you feel like that? Are you even there, and why am I going through this? Well, Jesus, I don't know whether he really had this question or if he was modeling it for us as an example, but look what he says. Matthew 27:46, my God, everybody say it, why have you forsaken me? Why? I don't have the answer to all the whys. I mean, I don't know why. Kim and I have probably had one of the roughest years. She's lost both of her parents. We've been through things that you know about and things you don't know about. It's been rough. And I don't understand all of it, but I do know one thing, and that is that God's called me to take care of my family, not just my church. I believe you want a pastor that takes care of his family. And God's had to kind of pull me on that one and get me in line with that. But I know as we go through stuff, Kim and I have had many, many conversations. We text verses back and forth, y'all. We try to encourage each other and strengthen each other. But one thing we conclude, and that is that we got to trust God. You got to trust him in these things that we don't understand. Because if you get into the realm of the wise, it really has the potential of destroying you. And here's the thing. We need to be okay with not knowing why for now. For now. Because here's the good news. There is coming a day when one day we're going to see him face to face. The Bible says that it's as if we're looking through a glass darkly and we don't understand. And so here's what we do. We stay the course. We don't pull back. We stay the course. We stay faithful, as these three men gave as example. We stay faithful to the Lord, and we know that one day it will make sense. I've said it before, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a big, oh, now we understand, right? And so there's the whys. It's okay to ask why, but we need to be okay with knowing we may not understand everything, all right, until we get to heaven. Number five. Be human enough to acknowledge your need on your worst of days. You know, oftentimes on our worst of days, we clam up. We isolate, we pull back, we draw back, you know, and we hibernate. And we don't let anybody know, and we don't let anybody help. But be human enough to acknowledge your need. Look at this. In John chapter 19, it says, later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus, while hanging on the cross, he says, I'm thirsty. And so a jar of wine vinegar was there, and they soaked it. They soaked on a sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. He acknowledged his need. And none of us are so self-sufficient that we don't have times that we just need the help of somebody else. Right? We need somebody to help us. And he gives us permission to be honest and to ask for help. None of us here can do it by ourselves, myself included. Right? None of us, including myself especially, presume that we have it all together. Some people may just look like it, but guess what? I just got news for you. The big reveal, they don't. There's nobody that's got it all together. And we all need encouragement. We all need help. You need help. I need help. Hey, you need encouragement. I need encouragement. We need each other. We need each other. And I tell you, as a church, we've been going through some things here at the church. We've been going through some transition. Here's what I believe. I believe God's up to something, and I believe we're going somewhere, and God's taking us somewhere, and God's shifting some things and doing some things, and I'm okay with that, but it's still very difficult. We need to hang on to each other, hang on for the ride, and see this thing through, and God's going to do some amazing things. But we need each other. We need each other. And so in the midst of this, Jesus says, I thirst. I thirst. We need to understand we got to rely upon each other. That's why we need to get into a small group. We need each other. This is not a country club, right? This is a church, and we need to come to, and we need to belong. That's why we have Church 101. Go to Church 101. And get involved and belong. Get into a small group, you know? So somebody could come up to you and say, how you doing? And you say, terrible. And you? How you doing? I mean, you know. Where you can be honest with each other and share with others, encourage one another, right? Number six. Everybody encouraged? Terrible. All right. Number six. Be assured there is a purpose and an end. There is a purpose and an end. God always has a turnaround, I'll turn it around moment in your life. God always has this turnaround for a good purpose. And God maybe didn't create the situation, but he'll use it for good for his purpose. And here's what I do know. There's always a purpose and an end. One day, everybody, one day, there's no more crying, no more dying, no more insurance to deal with, no more taxes, no more traffic. It's going to be over, all right? I just encourage somebody today. But no bad day need ever to be pointless, and no bad day need ever to be unending, because Jesus has the power to put purpose in your bad day, and he has the power to declare it's over. All right? And so that's our hope. That's our hope. And Jesus says in John chapter 19, it is finished. He wasn't talking about his life on this earth. He was talking about his conquering the curse of the devil on our lives so that every bad day could have a purpose and an end. The Bible says he conquered the grave. He conquered the cross. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you so that on your worst of days, there is a purpose in it and a cause, and it will be over one day. And that, my friends, is good news. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians puts it this way, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Well, how do you do that? Glad you asked. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so there's a hope beyond this. We have an everlasting purpose, and it's going to be over one day. And so therefore we don't pull back, we don't give up, we persevere. And then let's come to the last word that Jesus said. Many people believe it is finished, but he had one final word that he said. And this point is that finally, and that is surrender your day to God and let it go. I love that word, surrender. I love that word, surrender. Some people resist that word, but I'm going to tell you, surrender is a beautiful word. Surrender will bring you great freedom. And so, surrender. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 23. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And some of us need to do that today. We have an option. That is that you can try to figure this out for yourself. Good luck with that. And one thing I know you can't do for yourself, and that is that you can't take care of your own righteousness. That requires the cross. And Jesus is the only one that took care of our sin issue. You know that. He's the only one that took care of that. There may be other religious leaders, but he is the only one that dealt with our sin issue and said, I'll take that upon myself. I'll pay for that for you so that you don't have to. Jesus came to give his all to us. And he surrendered. He surrendered it all into God's hands. You know, and that last point, finally surrender your day. And I thought, shouldn't that be surrender your life? But what is your life but one day? And I tell you, what we need to do is just every day surrender to God and let it go and let him be the Lord of our life. Would you take a moment and just bow your heads with me? Because some of us may need to do that right now. Surrender your life to God. By that I mean give him control of your life. In fact, that's really what salvation is. Some people may think that salvation is part of joining a church. That has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is not joining a church. Salvation is surrendering your life to God and allowing him to come in your life. And today, something in this has spoken to you, and you know that you need to surrender to him. That's not the lights that did that. That's not my speaking that did that. That's the Holy Spirit that's prompting you, because the Bible tells us it's the Holy Spirit only that can draw us to him. And I believe the Holy Spirit has come and given us an opportunity to surrender our life to him. I just want you to do me a favor. I did this last week. Would you just, right where you're sitting, would you just open your hands before the Lord? Just palms up, just as a sign of surrender. I just want to pray over you. God, we posture ourselves in a position of surrender. We open our hands, but God, help us to open our heart, open our mind, open our life to you. Help us to give up control and allow you to be the Lord of our life. God, just help us to follow your example even on our worst of days and not give up. Surrender. Help us to surrender. To surrender. To follow your example. And experience life and new life in Jesus' name. surrendered. So simple, but it will cost you everything. But you'll gain so much more. Today, you may be here today and you're ready really to surrender. You haven't really fully surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe there's an area of your life you haven't fully surrendered. I'd like to lead you in a prayer of commitment, not to have you stand or come to the front, but just right where you're seated. I'd just like to lead you in a prayer of commitment and allowing the Lord to come into your life. And if that's you today, all it takes is a decision, but you need to let God know. You need to be bold enough to acknowledge Him. And so while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, what I'd like to ask you, if you need to pray a prayer of commitment before I lead you in that prayer today, again, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I just want you to lift up a hand real high. God bless you today. Anyone else? God bless you today. Anyone else? I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to pray this prayer, would you just right where you're seated, just pray this. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I accept by faith that Jesus has paid for all my sins. He has paid for all my past. And He's promised me a new future. Today I put my trust in you, Jesus. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I surrender. Today I give you my life. I invite you to come in. Jesus, take control. Save me. Heal me. Guide me. Today I commit my life to you. With all of my heart, I will follow you all the days of my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me the power to live for you today. Thank you, Jesus. I declare you as my Lord and Savior. God, I thank you.